Father, this morning we sit together here again in your throne room, pure light, glorious light, holy, no darkness. We are children of light, and what a privilege that light sits with light, and how we have been placed in a place of a world of darkness to shine. And we want to thank you, Father, as you share with us and you begin to take us into not the knowledge of good, but the living experience, relational reality of you. Because you are good. So we want to thank you as you challenge our definition of goodness, as you help us to unlearn and to be able to really become free of any form of definition that has put limits around of your revelation of goodness. So we need, Father, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need you to give revelation of goodness, your goodness, that we may partake in what your goodness is all about, your very nature, who you are. And we thank you as we have the joy, the promise, and the reality of participating in your divine nature through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Yeah. Good. We often say God is good all the time. But we're going to live in a greater revelation of that truth. We often say, taste and see that God is good. But we're going to live in a greater revelation, life of knowing the reality of God's goodness. And so we're going to be challenged in our definition, because as we've been going through the scriptures, we looked there in John. Let's go to John chapter 1 quickly. Just to recap. And as we read there in John chapter 1, and let me just read from verse 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made. That's important, that has been made. And that's why when creation, what did God say after He's created things? It is good. You see, because it came out of the goodness, the very essence of God, creation. And so it's good. And for man, it's very good. And so we see there that everything came out of Jesus, because He is good. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so we've been looking at this reality, and what we were sharing on the last two Sundays, that in Christ, Christ is the life. And the manifestation of life is light. So everything, who Jesus was, what He did, how He lived His life on earth, was displaying light into the darkness. Darkness is Jesus' life. The wages of sin is death. So death is darkness. Sin is darkness. The demonic realm is in the realm of darkness and operates in the realm of darkness. So here we have Jesus, who is life. You see, the wages of sin is death. He is life. So He enters into the realm of death, sin. The wages of sin is death. So when we start to realize, just as sort of a part of the understanding of light, when we realize there that death, because of sin, is darkness. And all mankind, because of sin, the wages of sin, there is the eternal death that waits for all mankind. There's that spiritual death. And so Jesus comes in, his life, and that life, because he is sinless, that life is the light. So that light now shines, because people in the dark, they don't know they're in the dark. None of us knew we were in the dark when we were not born again. We believe we're good. We believe what we're doing. We are honest people. We are good, decent people. We're not killing. We're not, what we determined to be bad. We're not doing that. We're decent citizens of the country. And so we are deceived. Remember, Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. And so we think we are good because we have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we have a knowledge of good and evil. But we don't know the reality of God's goodness. We're not living in his goodness, partaking relationally in what goodness is all about. So we have a knowledge, and we've got a conscience that tells us, no, this is good, this is not good, etc., etc. But it's determined by our culture and many, many other things of our definition of goodness. And so Jesus comes and his life, and now that life of his in his actions and everything that he does reveals light. And so the very death and resurrection of Jesus, put it this way, when Jesus died, as we have communion this morning, this may be part of your this application, as Jesus goes to the cross, remember, Jesus became sin. He didn't become a sinner, but he took the place of sin. So let's put it this way. Jesus took the place of darkness. Jesus took the place of death. So his broken body, Jesus, you took, I was in darkness, you took that place. So no longer, because of your resurrection. So the resurrection of Jesus is like the victory light that displays to all, light has won the battle. You see, and so now we partake in the victory light of Jesus, so we are light, and so it's a celebration of participating in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and that's why we are children of light. Okay. And so we have this amazing truth here that because God is life, and now we see here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 there that the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So now we begin to realize, but now the goodness of God releases life. The goodness of God that we partake and we see is the revelation of God himself. And that's going to be a huge difference in helping us to begin to understand a little bit more of what the goodness of God is all about. Because there will be life all the time in that goodness. And there will be light and life. So these are the things we need to look at as we continue. So here we read that. And so as I shared earlier on before we sang, or let's go back. I've often shared with you when God took me into a sort of like a glimpse of his love. And there were many aspects of this love. And one of the things that was overwhelming to me was his goodness. Everything about God, everything that he does, comes out of his goodness. And that was, for me, was too overwhelming because it's too good to be true. God's goodness. And that. Now, saying that, this may be helpful for some, because you may ask yourself throughout Scripture, why does God give different revelation to different people? Why did, Abraham said, God, show me your glory, what did God reveal to him? Part of his revelation was God's goodness was revealed. So we notice there that for Abraham, for Moses to be able to lead the people out of their captivity, he needed a revelation of God's goodness, of his faithfulness, of his mercy, of his kindness, etc. He needed that revelation. Now Isaiah chapter 6, he has a different revelation. He has a revelation of the holiness of God. because he's got a different mandate, a different calling, because the people of Israel are living in sin. And so he needed to have a revelation of holiness so that as he shared and he spoke and as he prophesied, it's flowing out of that revelation of the holiness of God, because the people are living in sin and there's the whole exile that's taking place and more is going to be taking place. So you will find whatever revelation God is giving to you and I, it's very, very important, because that's going to be part of the manifestation. It's going to be part of the light that's going to flow through your life as you walk there. So for 1947, I know that as God has shown, I know that the revelation of His love is foundational for what He has purposed for our community and for our part in displaying the light to the nations. So that's an important part. His generosity, His goodness is part of that revelation. His selflessness is part of that revelation. It's all part of this incredible goodness, this love, this light that is necessary for us to do. So He shows us a revelation so that we can grow into that and begin to receive and learn how to participate in the divine nature that God has revealed about Himself to you and I. Okay. Add to your faith goodness. Interesting that the first thing that Peter writes after you get born again and about participating in the divine nature, he writes there, okay, faith. You now believe God. You now have faith. God is real. Then the next thing, add to your faith goodness. Interesting. Light consists of all goodness. We're no longer in darkness. Now we've got to realize, wow, I'm a child of light. Now let me learn how to live and walk as a child of light. You see, goodness. Okay, righteousness and truth. So these are the things we're going to be looking at. So I want to share with you this morning, because I think it's so relevant, as when God took me into His love and I saw this goodness of God and I thought, yo. It's interesting, you become aware of your own definitions when you have revelation and God reveals Himself. But we're not like Moses. When Moses had a revelation of himself, oh God, I can't, oh God. And God was angry because he was self-centered. Got to see him. The revelations about God, and we partake in him and walk with him. We live in him, have our being in him. So that's why the revelation of who he is so liberating and free. Now, Audrey was busy praying this morning. You don't mind if I read this, Audrey? And this is what this is all about. And that's why it's an invitation into a journey of putting away your definition of goodness and saying, Lord, I need to get a revelation of goodness. Put away the knowledge of good and evil. I need a revelation of you, God. You are a good God. I need that revelation. So as I was praying for our community this morning, I saw how our Father has prepared many gifts for us. It was neatly packed in a heap, close to him, very important, in his throne room. He sent out a bold and loud invitation, and that's what he's doing this morning, to come to him to take our gifts. Wow. Okay. He waited patiently for us, his children, to come. He waited quite a while before the first one came. Why? You see, because just like when God showed me with the Isaiah revelation, He took me into His holiness, I wanted to run away because I was so conscious of my darkness and the fire of God. So I wanted to just run away out. I wanted to run out of this building and that. That's when He said to me, you see, you're no longer in the old covenant reality. you couldn't handle my holiness, but because you're in new covenant, what my son has done for you, learn how to stand in him, and you can stand in my glory holiness. You see, and that's why many of us, we don't want to come to God because of many, many areas. Oh man, I'm all this and self-centeredness, but self has been crucified. See, we've got to learn, we've got to establish, we've got to apply the truths of what new covenant is all about. So we carry on and in this prayer encounter, he waited patiently for us, his children, to come. He waited quite a while before the first one came. Why did it take so long? The father asked. I heard the call. This is the reply of that one man. I heard the call, but didn't think it was for me. I then thought, well, let's go and see. So I came. Okay. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. The goodness of God is too good to be true for us. It's not for me. It's for others. You see. We've got to hear the invitation from our Father this morning. And that Father then pointed to a heap of gifts and told him he can pick up any gift. He did and opened it. It was a gift of joy. And as his child received it, the father was pleased and overjoyed. And I then saw how a couple of more gifts fell from his heart onto heaps of gifts. Slowly more children came one by one. Each was welcomed as an important guest and led to the gifts to pick up some. Some children were skeptical at first and wouldn't take a gift, but just stand there for a while to see if it's really true. Others took a gift, and as they opened gifts of healing, of wisdom, of wealth, of hope, of joy, of peace, understanding, revelation, strategy, and received it, the more our Father was pleased, and more gifts came from his heart to his children. I realized the gifts can't run out. Some children took more than one or two or three gifts. And each time the father was pleased and more gifts came from his heart. Very important. We have a tremendous invitation to go to our father and receive gifts from his heart, unlimited gifts. And the scripture that God gave was Luke 12. I repeat, don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. People everywhere seem to be worrying about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. Each and every day He will supply your needs as you seek His kingdom passionately above all else. So don't be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives to you His kingdom realm with all His promises. And then the scripture that is part of this morning as well is James chapter 1, 17 to 18. Every good gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness, and is never subject to change. God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of His infallible word, so that we would fulfill His chosen destiny for us and become the favored ones out of all His creation. Today, may the shackles be removed from our feet and we run to the throne and receive from our Father's heart not just the one, but the abundant gifts because of His generosity and His goodness. Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Taste and see that God is good. See, all these incredible truths, now we have been invited not just to know about it. So the fridge magnets that have got God is good. Now, enter into it and become the fridge magnet for the world to see God is good. That's our calling. That's our journey. That's part of the what it is for the light of God to be shining throughout our community. So we've been reading here in John chapter 1 about Jesus being the light of all men, and light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And that's why, you remember when we read there in Colossians chapter 1, and we read there like verse 13, 14 onwards, that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light in His Son Jesus, so that we have redemption. So now we begin to understand when the Apostle John writes in that letter about that God is light, and if we claim to have fellowship with light yet walk in darkness, we lie. Because God has redeemed us. He's taken us out of darkness. We are children of light. And that's important, because many, many Christians will say, oh, I'm Christian, but their lifestyle hasn't changed. They're still living a lifestyle like they were while they were still in darkness. Okay, they're not born again. Okay? So they cannot say, I have fellowship with light, and yet continue to live a lifestyle in the darkness. That's a deception. It's not true. You know they need to be born again. You know that they need to come out of that dominion of darkness. Then you know that you then need to be the light shining in that place so that they can get a revelation of light. See, that's your testimony. That's our testimony. So in a marriage, for instance, many, many times in a marriage, and that's why we're going to be going and dealing with these issues, in marriages there, very, very often, one spouse will be in the darkness, the other one will be in light. We don't participate in the darkness, because we don't have a lifestyle of darkness. We are children of light. We cannot say we have fellowship with God who is light and walk in fellowship with God who is light and yet participate in the deeds of darkness. No, because we've got a new nature. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit is so, so important for us to understand what that's all about. Because that's the Holy Spirit revealing the nature, light. The Spirit of life. Life manifested as light. As we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, the life of Holy Spirit is being demonstrated through our lives. We are participating, we are partners of divine nature, so that that life within us, the Spirit of life, is now manifested through our life, whatever it may be, and that's light. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. So as we live as children of light, the Holy Spirit can work so beautifully amongst the people all around us, because the Holy Spirit now draws people to the light. The Holy Spirit, unless the Father draws people to His Son Jesus, is not going to come. So now there's light in the town. If you're making a stand and we're saying we are children of light, now we are actually saying, guys, as children of light, what a joy, because the Father now can begin to reveal through our way we live, the way we speak. So people now, the Holy Spirit can now bring a conviction and begin to show people, there, you see, that's light. That's why we are different. Holiness is also called the word different. We're not like people in darkness, because we are different. We are children of light. God is holy, perfect in every way. No darkness in God at all. So that's the maturing process. And that's how we start to grow in the revelation of what light's all about, because we start to partake in light. So we're not learning about light from the Bible. We're reading and the Holy Spirit's giving revelation, and now we start to walk in the light. We start to live in the reality of the light, and we start to experience the very nature, the light. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. Light consists of all goodness. So now we're beginning to experience what life and light is all about. We're beginning to have an understanding of what goodness is all about. Okay. So that's so, so important. And that is why many years back God took us to that starting point about when did we die? When did we die? And when we realized that Jesus, When in your death, that is when I died. I no longer live in darkness. I no longer live under the authority of sin. The authority of sin is a realm of darkness. I've been taken out of the authority of sin, the power of sin. I now live under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. That's light. So when we begin to realize this and we start to, in a sense, take responsibility and ownership of truth in our lives, we then start to experience the fruitfulness of all of this. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. And sometimes it's a law. And we feel condemned and guilty because we're wanting to live like that there. We're failing all the time because we're still trying in our own strength. But the power of sin has still got us there. We have to, by faith, receive what Christ has done for us so that His law, the law of grace, is flowing. It's the grace of God that enables us to be set free from the power of sin. That's why if we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the old dark life. We now begin to live as children of light, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. So these are the truths that is important to help as you disciple folk around you that are wanting to, that be been born again, but add to your faith goodness. Okay, now we need to disciple. What is goodness? And now you're able to, as you and I grow in the revelation of goodness, we're able to disciple. Well, goodness is the fruit of the Spirit. Evil, wickedness, darkness, the deeds of sin, that's all darkness. You've been taken out through Jesus Christ. You're no longer in Adam because in Christ, He is life. We're in Him by faith. There's a born again supernatural experience that has taken place. We are children of light. And because we are children of light, this is what's taken place. That old man that we used to be controlled, we sin controlled us, that power is broken. You're no longer a slave. That's why remember the blood of Jesus, redemption, ownership. We were slaves to sin. Jesus came because we've been created by Him. All things were created by Him. Light. But we enter darkness. And Jesus says, hey, that child should be light. But he's been captured by sin. Let me go into the darkness to go and rescue that child because I've created that child. And come on, revelation, Holy Spirit, get born again. Wow, I'm a child of light. The gospel, the good news is light. So we have an incredible, incredible journey now that we're taken out, and you help them to understand these things, that we are children of light. And the only way to remain and to shine, let your light shine, is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Because we've died with Christ in His death, and we've been raised with Him in His new life, resurrection life. So that's the journey. So we have to teach, that's part of the discipling. So you believe, but now there's a part of adding to your faith goodness. There's a part of adding to your goodness knowledge. There's a part adding to your knowledge self-discipline. All of that there is part of that journey of discipleship in 2 Peter chapter 1. Writes from 1 to verse 10 or 11. Incredible journey. So we have here in John, or in Mark. See, time has gone now. In Mark chapter 10. And so I want to ask some questions this morning because I've been asking these questions myself. A rich man comes to Jesus, then verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. So the question is, you may know someone that's not born again right now. And you look at them and you say, but that's a good person. Why do you say that's a good person? What is it about that person's life that enables you to make a decision that's a good person? Any volunteers for an unsaved person that you're looking at? Why would you say that they are a good person? Because everybody says they are good people. You know? How they treat others. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's their lifestyle. You can see that evidence over there. I know a lot of folk that are not saved. They hope, above all hope, that they've done enough good in life, just in case there is a life after death, and that, you see, and so they hope. So I was speaking to the one lady, sometime in Joburg, and she is, was ill, but she recovered, and she said, and she's not born again, but she said, I must have done enough good in my life that I'm still alive right now. See, and that's a reality of many people. Religion operates on that, the good deeds. Just in case, you know, God, I'm going to get rewarded in heaven. I've done enough good deeds. You speak to elderly folk that are getting close to the thing, to their deathbed over there, to the time of departure. And the great fear, what if I've done enough good works? Hey, because all good works. Yeah, anybody else speaking about an unsaved person, just how do you recognize, why would you say that person is good? Yeah, so again, the treatment and how they treat the poor. That's right, yes. That's like that. So we look at the unsaved person and we say they're good, but we have no idea what goes behind closed doors. So it can be a good deed, but what's the heart like? You see, what's the heart like? See, it's a different definition of God's goodness, because it's about a heart issue, a new nature, a new heart that we're dealing with. A Christian, you look at a Christian, why would you say that person, that Christian, oh, that's a good Christian? How would you recognize a good Christian? Think aloud. Light. Truth. Honesty. And also it'll be the actions, you know, just the way he helps the poor and the needy and treats people and so forth. So this rich man comes and he says to Jesus, good teacher. So Jesus asks, now why do you call me good? Why do we call Jesus good? What about Jesus can we say, but Lord, you are good? Why? This guy comes and he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Life manifested as light. So somehow this rich man is recognizing that Jesus is life in him. Where he goes, we see life. We see sickness, part of death. We see healing, life. We see people captured by demons, darkness. Where he goes, we see light coming out of darkness into light. Jesus is life. His actions is light. Light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So why do we say Jesus is good? See, not every believer believes this. You see, the Father wants to give good gifts, and he waited patiently. No. No, God, you're not good. You see, not many believers believe that God is good. Oh man, how am I going to get through this month? Oh, how am I? Oh no, and that I'm sick and suffering, and that how can God be good? I just look at the flood. Where's the goodness of God in the flood? I just look at when the Israelites went into promised land, and they killed all the children, the babies, the mothers, the fathers. Where's the goodness of God in all of this? See, it hasn't changed today. So many people come and they will say to you, how can God be good when you look at all the evil in this place? See, that's why we need to know what goodness is all about. You can't just give little answers. We've got to shine goodness. We've got to demonstrate goodness. We've got to smash the concept, their definition, the human definition of what goodness is all about. We've got to now take the mind out of the now moment and begin to understand there's an eternal reality when we come to the goodness of God. It's not just a now little moment. There's an eternity truth to God's goodness because it's who He is. It's His very essence. He's who He is. And we're always looking at the now moment. God, how can you be good? Look at this. I'm suffering. And we're suffering because we just do not have a revelation. How can I think all of us can testify this. We can be in the biggest trial of our life, but yet, despite all of that, there's a living hope because God is good. It's in us. It's real. And that's why we are people of hope. That's why we are light. Because we know this truth. Okay. But many, many times we forget, and God wants us to. So Jesus replies to this guy. He says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." And that's where we get our definition. God defines what goodness is. So guys, that's our invitation, and over the next couple of however long it takes, we're saying, Holy Spirit, yes. The fruit of your fruit is goodness. And I'm going to start to participate, and I want that fruit to shine forth in our lives. My definition of goodness is very conditional. I'll be good to some and not good to the others. My definition of goodness is dependent on my emotions of the day, of that moment. It's dependent on my culture. It's dependent on my education, my belief system. It's dependent on my experience. It's dependent on so, so many things. And then someone else's definition of goodness will be dependent on their moods, will be dependent on their experience, dependent on their history, etc., etc. So what is good for me will not be good for them. What is good for them will not be good for me. And so that is why our definition was buried when Christ died. God, we need revelation of your goodness, what it's all about. Because for this goodness of God to shine, it's going to be a challenge. I know for me personally, the only way for it to shine in my life is to daily, Jesus, thank you that I've been crucified with you. And that old sinful nature that had that definition of goodness, that self-centered reality of your goodness, that has been crucified. Thank you that your goodness can flow. It's a continually accepting, walking in truth, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And that's, for me, is the only way that I know. Otherwise, I can become... I've shared many times, and this is a, all of us, where we will, someone will do something and you will say, no, I'm not going to be kind to them. They deserve that punishment. They deserve that pain. They deserve it. And you're going to be, you deserve it. Let me just carry on in my own little life. And all of a sudden, God's goodness will say, my goodness is for, it's not conditional. I'm always good. I'm not in a bad mood or a good mood or, my culture doesn't affect the way I'm good all the time. I cannot but be good. What will God's goodness be for that particular person at that time? See, and that's why keeping in step, because we will come with our definition of what will be goodness for that person. And we need to now get the heartbeat of God and the goodness. Amen. So, taste and see that God is good as we have communion this morning. Father, we want to thank you that truly in your Son we can taste the life of Jesus. We can see your goodness. And we want to thank you as you're inviting us to participate, inviting us to come, because every good gift comes from You, God, the God of light. And we look at our community, we look at our nation, we look at our families, and we realize, Father, that we need to understand what these gifts are all about and this goodness, and so that it can shine. Lord, thank you for your grace working in our lives. Thank you, Father, for showing us, giving us a greater revelation of your glory, greater revelation of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom of goodness, because you are good. Your ways are good. And we are asking, Father, that you would teach us, to help us to have discernment, to know, so that whatever comes from the heart of love, Lord God, we want to know that these good deeds, in a sense, the way we treat, the way we walk, will release life wherever we go. Father, we know there's many good works, but there's no life. But Lord, we come and we want good works to carry life. Our community, our nation needs life. So we ask, take us in, Father. Take us in. We respond to your invitation, and we step into your heart of goodness. And we thank you. We want to thank you, Jesus, as we eat the bread representing your broken body, and drink the grape juice representing your blood. It has redeemed us from darkness and brought us into light. We want to thank you that we can begin to partake in your divine nature in a greater depth, a greater insight, as we add to our faith goodness. And so we receive, Father, the revelation of goodness through Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for that. Lord, we celebrate that we are no longer in darkness. We celebrate that we've been taken out and we are children of light. We celebrate that we live in the kingdom of light. We celebrate that we are placed, because you love people, we have been placed here in a town, in families, in schools, wherever we may be. We've been placed to shine forth so that people can see the light and be born again by the Holy Spirit. And this we celebrate this morning as we partake with you, Jesus, and give you the praise and glory. Amen. Amen.